I'm Advay Chinde. I'm the co-founder and CEO of GoGuardian, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, a conversation with the co-founder and CEO of GoGuardian, Advait Shinde. Stay tuned. As always, thank you for listening to the show and for sharing it with your friends and family, and for downloading and rating and kindly reviewing. It's very much appreciated, and I'm quite grateful. So, you know, we're all lifelong learners, but for some like me, our initial foundational methods and styles of learning seem truly like a lifetime ago. Many of us began our school-age education with lots of paper, repetition, Socratic recall methods, piles of solo homework, plenty of memorizing and cramming, and mostly low tech. Now, fast forward with computers and rich visuals, digital learning devices and the internet, and now AI and augmented reality learning, well, they've all taken recent generations now to new collaborative and asynchronous teaching that certainly make my own schooling honestly seem like it happened 100 years ago. And so given the A, incredibly high stakes of childhood education, and B, prospective impact that technology has on student learning as the fertile soil from which our future is blossoming, it was really timely and terrific to catch up with my friend, Advait Shinde. Advait is the co-founder and CEO of GoGuardian, an educational tech company that's aiding K-12 students to engage in better learning experiences. Both Advait's own experience as an engineer at Google, especially combining innovation and scale with launching products, and his blossoming passion for finding solutions in the educational tech space led him to help launch and build GoGuardian as a platform where all stakeholders in a school's ecosystem could organize and use the internet and technology in an open, collaborative, safe, and productive way. Now, as a pediatrician, and especially over the past 3 to 4 pandemic years, I've certainly seen the revolution of online learning engagement intersect heavily with concepts of well-being, pace and strength of retained knowledge, and of course, cost and task burden for students, teachers, parents, and community members alike. And so this conversation with Advait to learn more about his work and the impact on youth is certainly quite top of mind for me. You know, we chatted about it all, but I first wanted to find out more about what Advait's own learning experiences were like when he was growing up, and how they perhaps informed him in launching GoGuardian.
Yeah, so let's see. I by all accounts, I think went to a fantastic school, like one of those state-ranked schools. My parents did everything that they could to get us into that school district. And so theoretically, my experience in class should have been fantastic. And I had great teachers and all that, but I was just, I don't know, really frustrated with the idea of studying just to get good grades on tests. And the fact that my parents kind of continued to push me to do well in school as measured by these grades. I don't know. Something didn't really sit well with me as a really young kid.
Yeah. Were you, by the way, all public school?
All public
throughout?
School. Yeah. And so, honestly, I was a really curious kid. I was genuinely interested in learning, but I just hated grades and tests and things like that. And I had the benefit of growing up in the internet era, and I really quickly turned all of my attention and free time to learning on the internet. So I learned how to program as a young kid, and whatever topics I was really interested in, I just found unlimited runway to find content and communities online. And really the sort of juxtaposition between my in-class experience, which was all testing and memorization related, versus my internet experience, which was just unlimited and curiosity oriented. That difference, I think, was really one of the main things that led us to start this company today.
When you think about that sort of differential, by the way, when you mentioned that like there was so much steering towards grades and memorization and standardized testing, et cetera, which, by the way, you know, is not a, a foreign concept for many immigrant families. And for that matter, I mean, you know, my own growing up experience in school was a lot about that. But not having gone to school in the internet era, thinking about that differential now, when you thought about the things that you were curious about and required insight and discovery, was this a, was there some community there too? Like, hey, my friends are doing this at the same time. Or was this all kind of self-directed, and was it necessarily hard to find kind of collaborative groups who were kind of going through the same thing?
Yeah, so a couple of things come to mind. The first would be, I think my dad was definitely a mentor here. He's an engineer, and so he kind of helped me understand a lot of these concepts directly.
Right.
And then beyond that, we're talking about early internet, right? So these are early communities of people, like startup communities, programming communities, mm-hmm. things like that. And I really kind of gravitated towards those to find people that were interesting and exciting. And
well, and then as you sort of realized that differential, that gap, where there's the classroom instruction geared towards a particular outcome, and then there's your outcomes, in a way, I imagine that the measurement of how successful that was that you learned the material, that you were able to apply the material, that you were able to synthesize things, but they were steered by your own interest and enthusiasm and not necessarily by a metric. Did that play forward definitely in college as well? Like, did that somehow, you know, as you then went through college instruction, went through the first elements of your career pathway, did you find that, you know, you were very much aware of those two kind of lanes, if you will?
Definitely. You know, it's funny. I went to school at UCLA to study computer science. And on one hand, it was really, really fun because I had spent all of my free time as a young kid learning these things. And so to devote all of my attention by amazing professors to learn some of these ideas was great. But despite that, I think that there was a clear difference between learning it theoretically and what I was more interested in, which is applying the theory to actually build real stuff for real people. And so yeah. There were these like small communities at UCLA, one of which I sort of met my co-founder there, where we were just sort of working on side projects and in hackathons, building stuff. And it was in those groups where we were just really interested in applying the ideas to build the new things and really just have fun, honestly.
You know, when you think about that, those hackathons and those aha moments, was there a specific moment or a gradual buildup that made you realize, and maybe this happened after UCLA when you were at Google, or was there a specific moment or a series of buildup experiences that, you know, found education to be top of mind where you said, hey, look, you know, all the things that I'm doing here, they're really cool, but if I really want to apply them to real people and real situations, education is the platform that I want to dive into. When did that kind of click go off?
Yeah, you know, it kind of popped up incidentally. It was my co-founder's side project that was in this sort of education space a little bit that started to really kick off. And we had a conversation about like, hey, I think that there's a real opportunity here, a real company here. And the backdrop was, this was back in 2014, where the first wave of school districts were starting to essentially give laptops to every single kid. And that was pretty unprecedented at the time. Like before that, it was the computer lab era. And this was a new era, really, where the entirety of the learning experience was starting to shift online. And
yeah,
we looked at
way
each
more
other,
democratized.
Said, yeah, completely, completely. And yeah. And we were both internet kids and had sort of similar experiences in school and really felt that bringing the internet to be more central in everybody's educational experience would have so much potential, potential to engage kids more effectively. And take the same learning experiences that we had in our spare time, but make them the standard for all kids. And beyond that, I think we were also sort of technology oriented, right? So we always felt that the data that was emerging from all these learning experiences would tell us so much about how learning works, so that we can be in a position to improve educational outcomes and personalized learning experiences and all that. And just the excitement of being at the earliest stage of this broader transformation and potentially even being in a position to enable that transformation, that got us really excited. And so that was really the sort of foundational motivation for starting the company in 2014.
Well, and I imagine that, you know, as you build success and it becomes more sticky, then, you know, you also realize more and more that, hey, there's even more of an opportunity, even more gaps, even more solutions to try and build. You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with the co-founder and CEO of GoGuardian, Adwait Shinde. Stay tuned. Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Cal Penn. I'm an actor, author, former public servant, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tam France.
Hey, this is Samir Gadia.
Hi, my name is Richa Morjani, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with Adwait Shinde. You know, in those early days, and then even particularly if you think about the educational tools being democratized away from the kind of computer lab and into the, you know, hands of each learner, and for that matter, each, you know, administrator and each teacher as well, to things living, you know, asynchronously and in the cloud, and then, of course, the entire pandemic as it's gone through. When you think about that arc of how you built this for GoGuardian, I'm always curious to think about how does success actually get measured, or how does it get viewed, and what it means to, you know, founders and even to, you know, the people who are using this. But how do you actually measure success when it comes with respect to how well tech integrates into educational systems and scholarship? And I mean, at the end, is it still test scores and graduation rates and, you know, how well somebody does with their grades? Does it actually migrate to things like teacher retention? Does it migrate to student wellness and, you know, all the things that matter? And with so much more data, you know, how do you view that now, maybe differently, as, you know, from what we talked about earlier? Or in fact, are they still somewhat kind of, you know, the same?
Yeah, this is interesting. So at some level, I think it's reasonable to have like an objective judgment about whether a given kid's learning experience is working or not. Like,
yeah,
you can, from that objectivity, sort of ask the question of how do we improve? How do we help this kid accelerate even further and so on? And so I don't want to imply that like standardized testing or measurement is bad, right? And so the issue becomes, if you have a standardized test and that test is limited in terms of what it's actually measuring, and all of the weight goes on that limited measurement, that's the fundamental issue. And so I think philosophically at GoGuardian, we believe that if we measure in the right ways, that we can more accurately understand who each individual learner is, what their interests are, what their learning tendencies are, and so on. And then further be in a position to sort of not just recommend content, but now in this sort of AI era, really generate learning experiences for them that are sort of bespoke and personalized for them in a way that actually really accelerates learning outcomes for that kid. Like, that's kind of at a 30,000 foot view, how we think about this thing at the long term. Now, yeah, that said, we are pretty practical. Like, we're a business and we serve school districts. And so
right,
the way school districts think about the same question is also very, very important as well. They tend to kind of think about the other metrics that you mentioned. So standardized test scores, graduation rates, and so on. And again, our philosophical view is that if you really unleash the educational experience of an individual learner, that should translate to better let's call them conventional metrics of standardized test scores and so on. I'll give you another example. I think a lot of people are familiar with learning a bunch of stuff throughout the school year and then sort of forgetting it. And then at the very end of the year, having to cram and remember all the stuff that you learned over the course of the year for the end of year standardized test.
Yes.
To us, that feels like a really suboptimal way of approaching learning. And in a lot of the things that we built, we tried to strategically reintroduce old concepts at just the right times, the optimal times, so that students remember things and don't forget things. And so we kind of think about that that retention of information as another mechanism to drive learning outcomes for that kid as well.
First off, the idea of studying, forgetting, cramming, testing, that cycle sadly is part of every medical student's nightmare, for a long time. And hopefully that narrative is changing. I guess another thought is that with the practicalities that school districts have to face, and in some ways, you know, the money that's embedded into those metrics, and then of course running a business, you know, like yours, have you found that through either student user experiences or even teacher or parent user experiences and how they guide how you refine and develop products, are there also balance measures there too, where that like, look, we did the A and B testing for what we want to try and design, but we didn't realize that sometimes there's going to actually be more work for students or more work for teachers or more work for parents as a byproduct of trying to change that model, that narrative of, you know, reminding someone of what the content is like, as opposed to, you know, going to that cram model. And in the end, you know, it still all is going to be about the feedback. Does a student feel like they actually felt like they learned better?
Yeah, a couple things come to mind here. The first is, as progressive, I think, as we are, or as excited as we are about where all of this is going in the long term, ultimately, it's got to translate to teachers finding it useful in the classroom today. And so if it's too foreign, too progressive, that's too big of a leap for many teachers to take. It requires them to think about their workflows very differently and so on. And as a result, they just don't adopt solutions like that. And so I think we've had to be pretty pragmatic here and say, okay, this is where all of this stuff is going, but how do you translate it in the sort of frameworks and mindset of teachers today and have it be sort of just incrementally progressive so that teachers can find it, use it, find success with it, maybe change their workflow slightly and then slightly more. And then over time, they're finding themselves in these workflows that are different and therefore much more effective. That sort of bridge between the old world and the new world is something that we constantly find ourselves in, for sure. Mm.
And I imagine that there's a lot of, again, feedback that is needed and required to iteratively build this.
Absolutely.
Like from the ground up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've seen this on the periphery in the doctor's office, and you know, certainly worry about it for my own teenagers, but especially in this self-directed, very highly democratized and era of, you know, progress, right, with discovery and digital learning and integrated learning for that matter. I do worry, of course, always about loneliness and isolation and, you know, students who really face that as a challenge. In this era where things are very digitally controlled and monitored, I still wonder that, and I still believe that human interaction and human connection and relationship development comes from human dialogue and human discussion. Are these kind of the natural guardrails that we constantly have to keep in mind to make a platform like GoGuardian or any other tech integration helpful and useful and well-balanced?
Yeah, so this idea of social-emotional development or social-emotional learning, SEL for short, is really, really popular and central in K-12. And philosophically speaking, we really align with that idea. And we don't really believe that digital learning, particularly like isolated digital learning, is a replacement for genuine human interaction. Instead, I think the way to think about it is, to the extent that we can deliver digital learning experiences that are really effective, that students can spend a nominal amount of time on, that actually frees up teacher time, classroom time, to spend on these other aspects of learning, which are arguably way more important, developmentally speaking. And so it's really just an optimization in the sense of, let's kind of knock out all of the digital aspects of learning in the most optimal way so that the teacher can devote their sort of human attention, inspiration, and warmth and so on in the ways that are uniquely human in the classroom. That as opposed to kind of obligating the teacher to do the whole thing, where they're having to teach, having to help students that are ahead and behind and so on. It's really just an impossible job for the teacher if they do have to do it all. And so to the extent that we can offload a lot of that work and do it in a more personalized or differentiated way for each kid, so that the teacher can then have that in-person human time, that to us feels much more balanced and optimal.
Can I ask a relatively naive but contextual question? Yeah. As the business model gets even better and you have more success, does that translate to more efficiency and therefore, you know, less cost for school districts and therefore less personnel that they have to hire and therefore less humans?
You know, I think it's an interesting way of looking at it. I think the way that I see it instead is that there's already a teacher shortage, right? There's the ratio of teachers to students is already pretty burdened. And so in this world where we're able to save teacher time, I think the net effect, instead of looking at it as a cost reduction, is instead teachers can then spend that extra time for these SEL aspects that I was mentioning and actually help drive educational outcomes more effectively instead of having their time spread thin across all of these other aspects of teaching and learning where perhaps the human teacher isn't the most optimal person to be sort of delivering those aspects of learning, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And again, I think that there's, you know, in the aspirational world, hopefully that optimization for teachers and students happens, but I'm sure there's a lot of hopeful monitoring that goes along with that. And in a way, speaking of that, this is kind of a thread the needle question too. I mean, or a thought at least. I mean, how do you promote discovery and learning while also protecting privacy and free speech and, you know, all the things that come with being an individual, and especially with the, you know, microscopic scrutiny that just about everything, you know, holds these days in this kind of internet era, where everything is microscopically scrutinized all the time?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I think the way that we think about this is, as Go Guardian, we're a platform that serves school districts, parents, teachers, etc. And it's not our view, centrally speaking, to decide on behalf of school districts and parents how to go about balancing these two things. And so we have school districts that are really, really progressive. We have school districts that are really, really conservative, and everywhere in the middle. And we sort of give them the tools to configure policies however they want. And I don't think we necessarily have a view personally around how they should be doing it, if that makes sense.
And yet I'm sure that, you know, the quickest, when there are disagreements, because, you know, there are lots of different ways to look at that, I'm sure that the onus for either success or blame falls on the tool. And so, you know, oftentimes I'm sure Go Guardian gets in the middle of those kinds of things.
Yeah. We definitely get in the middle of it. But I think in those situations, we just remind all the stakeholders that as a tool, like we can't have a view, we shouldn't have a view. And really it's the responsibility of the parents ultimately, I think by local governments essentially govern school districts. It's the responsibility of the parents and the local communities to have a view around how to balance all these things. I think it's important to acknowledge that view varies pretty widely from community to community, culture to culture. And so to sort of impose a centralized view across the wide diversity of America or the world is I don't know, we don't think that that's the right approach.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with the CEO and co-founder of Go Guardian, Advait Shinde. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Congressman Ro Khanna, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi, I'm Lily Singh, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi there, I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's now rejoin our conversation with Advait Shinde. I feel like a big part of learning and inquiry and innovation, and maybe even the spark for your own, you know, journey, is in a way kind of feeling like there, you know, what's the point to something, right? So like, what's the point of studying just for grades or just for test scores? And it also maybe is, you know, the kernels of thought that happen when you're actually bored and when you have, you know, free time. You know, either through downtime yourself or with others, is there a role for tech to, in fact, activate? I mean, we've seen what things like YouTube and the internet can do, but is there actually a space where tech has to not integrate and leave one to, you know, themselves and to kind of, you know, in a way, daydream?
Wow, that's a big one. As optimistic as I am about technology and its potential to help improve society, help improve learning, I think I'm also sort of insistent aware of that it has fundamental limitations. And when compared to being a human and sort of living life fully, I think a lot of people are caught between, I don't know, the shallowness or the emptiness of digital experiences versus the fullness and the richness of human experiences. And so I think it's important that we all acknowledge that technology is just a tool, and a tool that has a specific scope. And when used within that scope, I think it can be very, very powerful. But I think it's important not to forget what that scope is and the limitedness of that scope, and to also enrich our lives with these other aspects, which are far more important. I think that technology that I don't think technology is ever going to be able to fill these other aspects.
You know, when you think about that, you know, this idea that there's just some aspects that technology can't fill, we certainly seem to be pushing the boundaries and sort of like making that box smaller and smaller. Yeah. You know, as time marches on and the technology gets that much more advanced. So how do you build trust and sanctuary for that box in an era of AI and instant solutions in such a way that the process and the sanctuary of that box is as valued as the outcome is?
It's particularly tough because it seems like as technology gets better and as social media becomes more exciting and addictive, I think our brains are just sort of wired to find it interesting and immerse ourselves in it. And I think it takes a tremendous amount of self-awareness and discipline to almost like pull yourself out of it. And I'm saying this with sort of one foot in the door of the technology addiction and
right.
The other foot on this side being like, wait, this is a little bit scary over here. I don't have the answer, honestly. I think the best we can do is have this conversation and have a sort of societal awareness that this is an issue. And it's an issue that I think all of us face more and more over time. I think kids in particular are even more sort of exposed to it, for lack of a better word.
Is that a consideration that has to be in some ways that even maybe Go Guardian is exploring and looking at in the arena of curriculum design and, you know, sort of making that there's a maturation of that discussion as time marches on? And again, a protection of that kind of sanctuary that we just talked about?
Yeah, I think the way that we think about it is, for the time that students spend on their devices, Let's make that time really optimal. So let's minimize the amount of harm that happens on it. And then let's use the time to have, let's say, optimal learning experiences that are engaging. But then let's also time box that whole digital learning experience as well. So that in class that, like I said earlier, teachers can spend that in class time for the non-digital human aspects of things. I think it's really acknowledging the limitation of the digital learning experience and then enabling the teacher to sort of pick up where we leave off. That's philosophically how we think about this.
Let me ask you this. I mean, it goes back to when you do have that sanctuary box of open space and the ability to sort of be free from tech, there is probably some liberation in making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this freedom that, like, look, I'm here to just kind of play around. And you know, certainly that exists when you're using tech and social media and you know, that those kinds of tools as well. But now, for you personally, as you kind of think of your role now as a founder or co-founder and a CEO, but back also when you were first starting the company, how do you approach making mistakes? And how do you deal with your own free time? And how do you deal with daydreaming, but particularly in iterating from those mistakes compared to when you first started out?
Yeah, so one of GoGuardian's, I think, most important core values is called experiment and learn. And it really embraces this idea of mistakes as absolutely critical. And it suggests that a mistake is not fundamentally bad. Instead, it's an opportunity to learn. And what's required, though, is for you to actually gain that learning and then correct from the mistake and apply yourself in an iterative and incremental way. And really, the faster you can make these iterations, the faster you can learn from the mistake, apply, and improve. What we found in our experience is that just results in better products and, in the aggregate, a better company or really just better learning experiences for kids. And so it's almost like rewiring yourself, because when you're young, when you're in K-12, you're taught that mistakes are bad, like don't make mistakes, right? But it takes like an interesting perspective or mindset to embrace the idea that you're inevitably going to make mistakes. And it's through those mistakes that you actually make progress.
Certainly plays upon the Indian and the South Asian upbringing as well, I'm sure. I'll get you out of here on this. I mean, as your experiences have unfolded and you've gone through this, you know, kind of arc of building a company, but also, you know, juxtaposed by your own learning experiences and the experiences that you hear from stakeholders, students, teachers, parents, administrators, how do you now, as a leader and a lifelong learner, how do you cultivate trust? How do you keep that as sort of one of your own core tenets, and how do you build that?
I think one of my personal values is authenticity, or related to that would be earnestness. Yeah. I think of that as kind of feels like you have a true self that is perhaps free from fear and insecurity, kind of the source of your curiosity and so on. And so the degree to which I feel like I can step into that true self and live by it in an unbounded way, in an unqualified way, I've just found in my felt experience that people appreciate that, and they reciprocate in turn. And it sort of creates a community where people feel free to be themselves. And I think in that, the concept of needing to trust doesn't become conscious anymore. It sort of, everybody kind of relaxes and the trust becomes almost subconscious in how we all interface with each other. And we've been really lucky at GoGuardian to create a community like that. And it's been important for us to, like, really preserve those values and that psychological feeling that I think everybody has when they're together. Because when you get it right, I think it builds upon itself to create just an amazing place for people to be.
Well, hopefully it's translating to, you know, that unconscious level of trust and comfort for not just people at GoGuardian, but the people who are using GoGuardian and discovering GoGuardian and all the things that you're doing, Advait. Thank you so much for joining. This was such a treat. And, you know, best of luck. I hope we can visit again down the road.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Advait. And you can please learn more about him through LinkedIn or at GoGuardian. Now, one thing that's unshakable is that the stakes are certainly high when it comes to child safety on the internet. So a reminder, please, that nothing replaces smart supervision and that less is more. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.